Welcome to Talks from the Bible. During the month of December, we have concentrated on the birth and the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ever thankful that Jesus was born into the world. However, we do not celebrate or honor that birth. We are not taught in Scripture to give any particular celebration to the birth of Jesus. We are, however, commanded to observe His death and remember that death through our partaking of the Lord's Supper each first day of the week as we assemble to worship our God. We are commanded that we are to partake of the bread, unleavened bread, and the fruit of the vine. This is the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This event, which was made for the sins of humanity, is to be commemorated or observed each first day of the week when the church assembles to worship. However, we are ever grateful that Jesus was born into the world. We are thankful that God, through His grace and love for humanity, sent His Son into the world. We are thankful that Jesus was born, that He lived, and that He died. Each individual should hold a special place in his or her heart for this great gift that God has given to us. It is through Jesus Christ that we can be saved from sin. It is through Jesus Christ that we can have life everlasting. It is through Jesus Christ that we can come to know God and have fellowship with Him and know the blessings that God will bestow upon us, both in this physical life and in the eternal life that is to come. May we ever be grateful to God for this gift. And may we consecrate our lives to the service and to the worship of God, because He has been so gracious and good to us through Jesus Christ. As we come to the close of these series of lessons, we read from Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God had promised at the fall of Adam and Eve that He would provide redemption for the human family. Centuries of time have passed. A long lineage of people for the seed line of Christ has been established. And now a young virgin girl by the name of Mary, in the city of Bethlehem, gives birth to He who would be called Jesus and would become the Christ, the Anointed of God. Jesus Christ, the Savior, was born into the world. With His birth came His life. Jesus Christ began life with birth. Jesus Christ lived a life of obedience. John 6, verse 38, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Jesus came into the world to do the will of the Father. He was obedient to the Father, in that He left that heavenly abode and came to earth. He lived in obedience to the Father while He lived upon the earth, while He walked among men. He obeyed God in his death upon the cross. Jesus Christ lived a life of obedience. If we would honor Christ, we must be obedient to the will of God. If we're going to honor the birth of Christ, then we should live in obedience to his will. Jesus has set for us the example of obedience. He did as God instructed him and desired him to do. We honor God when we do his will. We enjoy the benefit of the birth of Jesus and the death of Jesus when we do his will. The life of Christ was a life of perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus Christ lived among men without sin. Humanity has difficulty with sin. The devil tempts, the devil entices, the devil assaults. Jesus was tempted. Jesus was enticed. Jesus was assaulted. And yet this scripture says that he was without sin. He knew no sin. His life was a life of perfection. The will of God was foremost in his life. His life was not stained by sin. His conscience was not marred by sin. His heart was not ruined by sin. Jesus knew no sin, but rather he was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The life of perfection enables us to have the righteousness of God and to know God and to be in fellowship with God. The life of Jesus Christ was a life of service. John 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Jesus came to serve. Jesus saw his mission upon the earth as doing the will of God and serving God. Jesus came to influence humanity so that they might serve God. Early in the life of Jesus in the temple with his mother in Jerusalem, he said that he must be about his Father's business. The business which the Father had given to Jesus was to do his work. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me. I must serve him." Do we, you and I, not see the necessity in our own life of doing the works of him who has given us life, who has bestowed his grace and love upon us? With the birth of Jesus Christ came his life. Without the birth, Jesus would not have lived. This is one of the significant reasons for the birth of Jesus, because of the life that he would live, a life of obedience, a life of perfection, and a life of service. But with his birth came his death. All that live will die. As Jesus lived, so he died. But the death of Christ was to have great significance for the world. For through that death, the world would come to know redemption. The world would be able to be reconciled and be in fellowship with God. The world would have the opportunity to know God as Father and the blessings of salvation. Jesus Christ died the death of crucifixion. He did not die as most of us die today, but rather he died the horrible, humiliating death of crucifixion. Luke 23:33, And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, or the thieves, one on his right hand and the other on his left. There were three crosses on the hill that day. On the right hand there was a thief, on the left hand there was a thief, and Jesus in the middle cross, dying the death of crucifixion. Crucifixion was probably the most horrible form of death that the mind of man has ever imagined. It certainly was a humiliating, shameful death. God had appointed Jesus to die by crucifixion so that humanity could be redeemed from sin. Jesus died the death of the cross. Philippians 2 and verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The obedient life of Christ was seen in the death that he was willing to die. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice upon the cross. He was born into the world, flesh and blood, found in fashion as a man, and became obedient unto death. But not just any death, the death of the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross. That cross was lifted, dropped into the hole prepared for it, and he, being suspended between heaven and earth, died this horrible, shameful death. The death of Christ was a death of shame. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Through Jesus and Jesus alone can we have faith in God. Through Jesus and Jesus alone can we come unto God. This scripture says that Jesus endured the cross. Endurance suggests to us that there is great difficulty, great pain, great sorrow. All of us in our life have had to endure some trial, some difficulty. All of us who have had to bear something that was very hard for us to bear. Jesus endured the cross. He bore the cross. He died on the cross and despised the shame. There was shame in this death. Only the very worst of people died by crucifixion on a cross. The Roman government consigned the penalty of death upon Jesus to be that of the cross. Thieves were crucified with him. Jesus died this shameful death. With the birth of Christ came the horrible death of crucifixion on the cross in shame. The Son of God, who should have been glorified, honored, and praised for the very fact that he came into the world to offer salvation and redemption unto humanity, died in a very shameful manner. He was rejected, despised, and afflicted, as the Old Testament prophet Isaiah chapter 53 teaches. With the birth of Jesus came the death of Jesus, a death of crucifixion on a cross in shame. But with his birth came his burial. When Jesus died, he was buried. When we die in this life, we are buried. Jesus was buried by Joseph. Luke 23:50-54. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man was laid before. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Joseph did not consent to the deed of the death of Christ. Joseph did not gather himself with the others in the courtyard of Pilate and yell and scream for the death of Christ. Joseph waited for the kingdom of God. And at the death of Christ, following the crucifixion, Joseph went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Joseph took it down from the cross, wrapped that body in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that had been hewn in stone. Man had never been laid in this tomb before. Here Joseph laid the body of Jesus to rest in a tomb. Joseph was accompanied by Nicodemus. John 19:39-41. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews was to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. Nicodemus came with Joseph and helped to bury Christ. Nicodemus is mentioned in John chapter 3 as having come to Jesus by night. You recall in John chapter 3 that Jesus discussed with Nicodemus the new birth. Jesus had instructed Nicodemus, "Ye must be born of water and the Spirit, so that you can enter into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven." Nicodemus, now at the death of Christ, brings a mixture of myrrh and aloes. He helps Joseph take the body of Jesus, wrap it in linen clothes with the spices, and bury him in the sepulchre that is in the garden where Jesus had been crucified. After Jesus was buried, this tomb was sealed with a stone. Mark 15:46. And he brought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. As Jesus is placed in the tomb by Joseph and Arimathea, they roll a stone against the door of the sepulchre. They do not want anyone to enter. They do not want any animal to enter and ravage the body of Jesus. And so they seal the sepulchre where they have buried him with a stone. This shows the honor that they have for Jesus. This shows the respect that they have for this one who claimed to be the man from God. This shows the great care in which they bury this body. Jesus is buried in great carefulness by those who had heard him, been influenced by him, and had chosen to follow him. The body of Jesus is buried in a sepulchre, and that sepulchre is sealed with a stone, and a watch was placed. Matthew 27:64-66. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last era shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Jesus had told the Jews that in 3 days the body which they destroyed would be rebuilt. They do not want the disciples of Christ to steal away the body. And so they asked Pilate to place a watch at the tomb of Christ. Pilate said, go your way. Make it as sure as you can. Man can be sure about nothing in his relationship with God. Man cannot fight against God. Man cannot overthrow the will of God. The will of God was that Jesus would not remain dead, but rather would be resurrected. A stone and a watch was not going to prevent that. But the tomb was sealed. Jesus was buried by Joseph, by Nicodemus, placed in a sepulchre with great care and love, sealed with a stone, and a watch was placed. With the birth of Christ came his resurrection. The resurrection came upon the first day of the week. Mark 16:2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Jesus had told those who would hear him that in 3 days he would rise again. Death would not keep him. Death would be unable to imprison him. And so upon the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. The resurrection of Jesus was announced by an angel, Matthew 28:5-6. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. As Mary and the other women come to the tomb very early on the first day of the week, an angel tells them not to be afraid. The angel is aware that they seek Jesus, but he is not here. He is risen. The angel said the tomb is empty. The body is not here. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Just as he had spoken, so now it has come to pass. What God says will come to pass. God is truthful in what he says. God wants us to hear what he says, knowing that he will do exactly and precisely as he tells us. The resurrection of Jesus sealed the hope of our resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:51-55, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We will be resurrected as Jesus was resurrected. Because Christ lives, we shall live. Because Christ has conquered death, we shall conquer death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is our assurance that he is the Son of God, Romans 1:4, and that we will come forth from the dead. And this corruptible body will become an incorruptible body, and this mortal body will become an immortal body. Jesus was resurrected upon the first day of the week, which sealed the hope of our resurrection. With his birth came his ascension. Jesus gathers with his disciples in Acts chapter 1. He reminds them to wait for the Holy Ghost. Verses 4 and 5 and verse 8, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The disciples, in hearing these words, desired to know about the restoration of the kingdom, Acts 1, 6 and 7. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. After Jesus had made the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them, which would guide them into all truth, and bring to their remembrance all that Jesus had said unto them, whereby they would be empowered to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that was lost, Jesus is received up. Acts 1, 9 and 10. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These men promised the second coming of Christ. Acts 1, verse 11, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. As Jesus had come into the world through birth, now, after his death, his resurrection, he ascends into the heavens from whence he had come. He returns to the heavenly abode. And as he ascends, and as the clouds envelop him, the angel promises that Jesus will come again. We must be aware in our daily walk of life that Jesus is coming again, whereby we shall be judged for the life that we have lived. With his birth must come our obedience. Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Because Jesus was born into the world as the Savior, as the Lord, as God himself, we must be obedient to him. As Jesus obeyed the Heavenly Father, so we must obey Jesus. If we would be saved, we must obey him. If we would live eternally, we must obey him. Matthew 7:21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Only those who do the will of the Father shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Mark 16:15-16, before he ascended, Jesus said to his disciples, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This is what we must obey. We must believe in Christ as the Son of God, and we must be baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peter explained to his audience on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Ghost had come upon them, the promise of Christ had been fulfilled. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. May you and I honor the birth of Christ. May we honor the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. Let us make him our Lord, That is the true honor that we will pay unto him. That is the right respect that we will give unto him. Repent and be baptized in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that you might have the benefit not only of his birth and his life, but also of his death. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.